The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, this is Grace in Focus. On this program, we try to be unambiguous about eternal salvation and how a person can acquire it. Thank you for being here today. On this Q&A edition, Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro answer a question about the meaning of Jesus' words, "I came to bring a sword." I'll tell you more about Grace in Focus in a few moments, but here now is Bob and Dave.
Well, we have another question from Andrew. What was the second question he had? We talked about one part yesterday.
Yeah, the next question he had is from Matthew 10, verses 34 to 39. He says, how does Jesus' words in that passage manifest themselves in the lives of Christians and their families?
Okay, so this is the passage about Jesus saying, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, and I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own house. And then he talks about, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And it's talking about the fact that the message of Christ is going to cause some family division.
It's not an excuse or permission to cause problems. I think it's a statement that it will cause problems no matter what to a lot of families.
Right. And I mean, you have, for example, in Amish, they shun people if they violate what the elders in their Amish community think is proper protocol, even though it's way beyond what the scriptures say, right? They can't have buttons, and their dolls can't have faces on them, and they can't use cars, and they can't use electricity, and there's all kinds of things that go way beyond. But regardless, their families sometimes get separated over shunning, and you have the same thing going outside of Christianity. Let's take Islam. I had a friend I went to Dallas Seminary with, and after he came to faith in Christ, his parents said, well, we're not going to tell anybody. You're just going to pretend like you didn't come to faith in Christ. And he said, well, no, I need to be baptized. I want to publicly acknowledge my faith in Christ. They said, if you do, we'll have a funeral for you. Yeah. And they did. In some fundamentalist circles, there are degrees of separation. And so you can't even associate with people who have fallen, because then that would mean I can't fellowship with you. But I think what we're talking about here is that within the Jewish community, you were going to have people coming to faith, and that was going to anger other people in the Jewish community.
Right.
Right?
I think so, too, yeah.
And the same thing does apply not just with Jewish Christians, but Gentile Christians. I mean, when I came to faith in Christ in college, it was kind of a challenge for my parents.
I grew up in a Christian home, so I didn't have to go through all that, but I've seen it where the other brothers and sisters went, what in the world are you doing? You know, they essentially equated it, although they joined a cult.
Right.
And that caused a lot of family problems just in the attitude of the non-believing relatives.
And in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul may be talking about something like that, because he said, if you're married to an unbelieving spouse and he wishes to depart, let him depart. Or if she wishes to depart, let her depart. Mm-hmm. The believer is not bound in such circumstances. A lot of commentators think what's going on there is two people in Corinth that were unbelievers got married.
Right.
And then one of them came to faith.
Right.
And when they did, this created stresses.
Mm-hmm.
And the unbeliever, in some cases, wanted to depart. And Paul said, look, if they don't want to depart, well, you need to stay with
stay
them
there,
because you're a sanctifying influence, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, if they do want to depart, you can allow them to depart.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, coming to faith in Christ can cause turmoil in a marriage, with the children, with lots of things. And when children come to faith, oftentimes they're evangelizing their parents, like I did, for example. That can create some certain sort of turmoil. Now, I think that Andrew asked a question about a related passage.
He says, I have heard of church families that have split because disagreements over the gospel, where they cite the words of John in 2 John 9 through 11. There's only one chapter, verses 9 through 11. The family seems to be the target of the verses in Matthew 10, and Christ came to bring not peace, but a sword. But I want to hear your explanation of what these verses mean for the Christian.
Okay, so in 2 John 9 through 11, why don't we, could you read that, David?
Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. It's an interesting passage.
It is. Now, there are several things going on here, and I would recommend to y'all that you check out Zane Hodges' commentary on 1st through 3rd John. We have it available at faithalone.org, and I think we have an ebook that's a short version of it that you can actually get for free if you want to check that out. You can download that for free. But he discusses these verses, and I find these powerful. And there's really two different groups going on here. First of all, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, and this is the abiding word that we find in the Upper Room Discourse in John 13 through 15, basically remaining or dwelling in the doctrine of Christ. And by the way, it shows here that doctrine is very important. Right. Some people say, well, doctrine divides. Of course it does. But doctrine is important.
And doctrine unites as
it,
well.
It also unites. Exactly. And we should be united around doctrine. Right.
A biblical doctrine.
Sound
yes.
doctrine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here we're talking about fundamental doctrine concerning Christ. And if someone does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, which probably, if you go back to 1 John, if this is related to 1 John, that's where he's talking about people who deny that Jesus came in the flesh, and there are different ways they did that, and they were also denying the promise of everlasting life. Mm-hmm. So maybe they were teaching something like you can lose everlasting life or something along
something
those
like
lines.
That, yeah.
That would not be abiding in the doctrine of Christ, and he says such a person does not have God. Now, this having here doesn't mean they're not born again. What it means is the person is not in fellowship with God, or he doesn't have God behind his teachings. He doesn't have God in his corner, so to speak.
There's no fellowship going on.
There's
could you say it that way?
I think so. And that God's not supporting what they're saying. But on the other hand, he who does abide in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
The word doctrine there is didache, the teaching. I'm wondering if it's, are you following what Christ taught?
Did you say following?
Following.
Following, what is that? That's some kind of...
We have a special language there.
It's called following.
Following.
So the first group in 2 John 9 through 11 is someone who's not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. So what we think of here is a church family, I think... Andrew's on the right track there. These are people in the church family, and someone's not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And what he's saying is if they don't, then they're not speaking for God. They don't have God in that experience. However, the one who does have the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. In other words, God the Father and God the Son are blessing the ministry of people who have sound doctrine.
And there's harmony and fellowship within that, I think, you know.
But there's a separate group starting in verse 10, because in verse 10, he talks about if anyone comes to you. Before, we were talking about someone who was part of your fellowship. Now, I think what this talks about, and I think this is Hodges' view, is there were traveling teachers in the first century,
sure.
Lots of them. And that was the issue in 1 John, that there were traveling teachers who were bringing false teaching about Christ. And here in 2 John... And by the way, in Greek, it's not 2 John. In Greek, it's Beta John. It's
beta.
Alpha, Beta, Gamma, the first three letters of the Greek mm-hmm. alphabet. And I remember it that Beta John is the bad guys. Don't support the bad guys. Gamma John is do support the good guys. And so on this one, what he's saying is, look, if you have someone, a traveling teacher, and they come... You're not to receive them in your house. That doesn't mean if a Mormon comes to your door or a Jehovah's Witness, you can't invite them in to talk to them. That wouldn't be violating this verse. What it means is you're not going to put them up to spend the night. You're not going to feed them. You're not going to finance
or
them.
Or support their ministry
right,
in any way.
Right, not going to support their ministry in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So what this would do, these traveling teachers needed places to stay. So when he's talking about receive them into your house, this is putting this person up. and you're not greeting them. Well, the greeting here is something like, God bless you. God bless your ministry. No, you're not to do that. It doesn't mean you can't say hi to some cult member, right? And it says, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. The point is, this putting them up in your house, feeding them, and then when you send them out, giving them some money for their journey, that would be a bad move if the person is coming in with false doctrine.
I'm looking at the Greek here for the word greet.
Yes.
And it's the word that's normally translated rejoice.
Mm.
And I'm wondering if that greet has nothing to do with, hi, how are you? It's more, oh, I'm so glad you're here, or rejoicing in what these traveling teachers are saying that are opposite of what the scriptures say. It's just interesting that it uses the word that's normally translated rejoice there.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that fits in this context.
Yeah, actually, the Greek is kind of funny here. It is kairo, you know, kairate would be you greet someone or whatever, but this is kairain, to rejoice, something like that. To rejoice to him, not to say. In the Hodges Farstad interlinear, underneath it, they say, do not greet him. But it's really something like, do not say to him, rejoice.
Right, or that you rejoice in what they're saying, and which is implicit agreement with this person, a false teacher.
I like that. Maybe it's like, don't give them the amen.
Right. Don't encourage false teaching. We got people all over the place that have this false teaching. We've got them today.
Right.
You know, and what we cannot do is, for the sake of keeping the peace or brotherly love or something like that, that we either silently or publicly agree with these false teachers. I think if it happens, then we have to speak against that. And if it causes tension, so be it.
That's exactly right. Andrew, great question on both passages in Matthew and in 2 John. Keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that interesting discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next program, Matthew 16 talks about a rock, keys, binding, and loosing. To what do these terms refer? Join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.